You must feel quite disoriented, Ferris added. But at the moment, we need your psyche intact so we can move forward. It's imperative that we figure out what this mask is trying to tell us. Sienna nodded. The doctors, Langdon noted silently, seemed to agree. Langdon sat quietly, trying to overcome his feelings of uncertainty. It was a strange sensation to meet a total stranger and realize you had actually known him for several days. Then again, Langdon thought, there is something vaguely familiar about his eyes.
Professor, Ferris said sympathetically, I can see that you're not sure you trust me, and this is understandable considering all you've been through. One of the common side effects of amnesia is mild paranoia and distrust.
That makes sense, Langdon thought, considering I can't even trust my own mind.
Speaking of paranoia, Sienna joked, clearly trying to lighten the mood. Robert saw your rash and thought you'd been stricken with the Black Plague.
Ferris's puffy eyes widened, and he laughed out loud.
This rash? Believe me, Professor, if I had the plague, I would not be treating it with an over-the-counter antihistamine.
He pulled out a small tube of medicine from his pocket and tossed it to Langdon. Sure enough, it was a half-empty tube of anti-itch cream for allergic reactions. Sorry about that, Langdon said, feeling foolish. Long day.
No worries, Ferris said.
Langdon turned toward the window, watching the muted hues of the Italian countryside blur together in a peaceful collage. The vineyards and farms were becoming scarcer now, as the flatlands gave way to the foothills of the Apennines. Soon the train would navigate the sinuous mountain pass, and then descend again, powering eastward toward the Adriatic Sea. I'm headed for Venice, he thought, to look for a plague. This strange day had left Langdon feeling as if he were moving through a landscape composed of nothing but vague shapes, with no particular details, like a dream. Ironically, nightmares usually woke people up, but Langdon felt as if he had awoken into one.
Lyra for your thoughts?
Sienna whispered beside him. Langdon glanced up, smiling wearily. I keep thinking I'll wake up at home and discover this was all a bad dream.
Sienna cocked her head, looking demure. You wouldn't miss me if you woke up and found out I wasn't real?
Langdon had to grin. Yes, actually. I would miss you a little. She patted his knee.
Stop daydreaming, Professor, and get to work.
Langdon reluctantly turned his eyes to the crinkled face of Dante Alighieri, which stared blankly up from the table before him. Gently, Langdon picked up the plaster mask and turned it over in his hands, gazing down into the concave interior at the first line of spiral text. O you possessed of sturdy intellect. Langdon doubted he qualified at the moment. Nonetheless, he set to work. 200 miles ahead of the speeding train, the Mendacham remained anchored in the Adriatic. Below decks, facilitator Lawrence Knowlton heard the soft rap of knuckles on his glass cubicle and touched a button beneath his desk, turning the opaque wall into a transparent one. Outside, a small, tanned form materialized. The provost. He looked grim. Without a word, he entered, locked the cubicle door, and threw the switch that turned the glass room opaque again. He smelled of alcohol.
The video that Zobrist left us, the provost said.
Yes, sir?
I want to see it. Now.